Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Recovery Road, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson. And first of all, I want to say thank you from wherever it is in this beautiful globe that you're tuning in to tune in and watch and share this show with your friends, your family, and your loved ones, because they might not just be your friends and family. You might have colleagues who you really love working with. And in this time of moving into sort of the final quarter of 2022, wanted to dedicate a show a little bit to breaking the chains that bind you going into the new year. And, you know, I don't love New Year's resolutions because I think they're really ineffective. Most people don't follow through on them at all. So we're giving you a head start by actually talking about this in mid-December. And it's actually valuable information for any time, any day. When you want to change whatever is going on in your life that's actually binding you, this is what this podcast episode will be about. I'm joined by the wonderful Dr. David Hardy. Dr. Hardy, how are you today?
Oh, fantastic. Yes. Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
Well, thanks for being my guest again. For those of you who actually have not listened or watched episodes with Dr. Hardy, I want to encourage you to go back onto the masteryourlife.ca website so you can see his work. And also, if you're interested in high-level coaching or looking at how your brain function is, your neurological function, please go check out his website, thehardybrain.ca. And I want to invite people to really write that down right now. So get out your pen and paper, which I say in every episode, because we forget things. And more so now than ever, that's a factor. And you might go, man, my memory seems to be really not that great. I'm really having trouble with processing emotions. Dr. Hardy, what is going on?
Oh, geez, there's so much that can go on in the brain. But just to kind of boil it down into simple points, there's definitely injuries. And those injuries can be physical or emotional injuries. They both take a physical toll on the brain. And then we've got toxins. Then we've got poor diet, nutrition, lifestyle things that all kind of come together in this horrible bucket of dysfunction and things kind of declining too. So there's a lot of that going around. And the biggest one, of course, is stress. And we all kind of feel it during the holiday seasons that there's extra pressure to get things done. And there's, of course, all sorts of goodies that probably aren't going to help our brain out. And yeah, we end up injuring our brains, to say right. Quite bluntly.
Right. And this is year round now. It's year round, this the brainwashing of the, you know, not good food, not good for you food, maybe tasty on the palate, but just not good for you food, you know, so you'd get out of one season and into another and into another. And it's almost like the retailers have us figure it out. Almost like that. Because you probably notice that right. You go from, you know, Christmas to New Year's, New Year's to Valentine's Day to, and there's always a smattering of birthdays in there somewhere that you need to celebrate. And that's awesome. Celebrate those. But this, it goes on and on. So St. Patrick's Day, what else do we have? What comes after that?
Right.
Summer holidays, ice cream.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely, and then the fall.
Camping season, grab your beer.
That's right, grab your beer for camping season. Football season, and it's like one, and Thanksgiving, and the American Thanksgiving. And so we're joking about it a little bit, but we don't, it's like we get into the vibe. Number one, not only does it break your brain, but it also breaks your bank account because you can't keep up with all of the holiday requirements. And so it's discouraging too. One thing I was just reading, Dr. Hardy, I thought was very, just a note to myself, is one of the things that shows poor brain function is when you start to actually not concern yourself with your personal hygiene.
Right. Yes.
Things start to change. So that's not just showering, but it's also like how your body looks and feels. Mm-hmm. So can you maybe talk about what's going on there, that would be a telling sign? Like, why would people stop caring about kind of how that hygiene issue?
Yeah, I think basically because now they're kind of so run down that instead of just ignoring your own body and how your own body feels, you're completely ignoring yourself. Mm-hmm. And to the point where you've given up and no longer care. And that goes beyond and before. Not putting on good clothes. That shirt's been there on the bed for a while. I'm just going to wear that one today. And I'm not going to socialize with anyone. And on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But before that, it happens with our own mood and our mood regulation. And those are kind of more the telling signs. And of course, with fatigue as well. And there's all sorts of warning signs that you're not headed in the right direction. And we always say too that, of course, living is a finite thing. We only get so many years, and it's with physiology and with our bodies, you're either making positive gains or then you fall back into negative ones. It seems to always kind of be a cycle, and we're either digging ourselves out of a hole, and hopefully we don't get into a big enough hole that we go down the road where we are neglecting our hygiene and everything else with that. Try to look at the positive gains that can be made with yourself and your body. And always remember that mood and mood regulation is very much physical as well as mindset and how you socialize and everything else in that realm.
Yeah. It is physical, definitely. And so the getting up out of bed and having, even if it's a quick splash at the sink in the morning first thing, if that's the one thing that gets you moving, then do that. Doesn't have to be some elaborate routine, which I think a lot of people think that the highly ritualized routine is super important. Getting first steps and getting things done is also important too, because you can overwhelm yourself with your routine and then you give up and quit before you ever get started. And with neurology, I just want to tap on this a little bit, because we talked about toxins being part of the problem. A lot of people don't even know why they're feeling sick currently. You know, so it could be food, could be the thing you're hanging out, people you're hanging out with. There's lots of evidence coming out right now, and I certainly don't expect you to weigh on this at all, Dr. Hardy. But for people who want to tune into episodes or an episode with Dr. William Mackus, you can see we're talking about the evidence and the data that's coming out that there is an effect from the inoculations, from the injections that people currently have had, current ones. And so that in relationship to the COVID shenanigan fest, people need to inform themselves, because you're expecting your cognition to be the same. And lots of people are reporting about the myocarditis, but they're not reporting, but it's the number one injury right now. The number one thing that's showing up is actually neurological problems. And so number one Number one. So neurological problems is the number one problem with that toxin. And so when you're going, I don't know why I can't seem to get my act together since 2021, you might want to go, what's changed? And so if that's the case for you, understand that, or your loved ones, that your neurology could be changed. And then it's like, you've got to figure out how you're going to restore that. And right, so it's right. got to be pretty purposeful. But first of all, you know, not necessarily do you have to know the why of everything, but just understanding that lots and lots of people might go, I'm feeling the exact same way. But the strategies to getting well and fixing your neurology, still, I think a lot of it boils down to your lifestyle. And
Definitely. And we look at lifestyle too as, well, one factor is stimulation. Mm-hmm. So we either get overstimulated or understimulated. And that goes into basically how that organ and vessel is running. And then everybody turns to the chemical side of things, which is hugely important. The brain can't store its own fuel. So it's reliant on the body to provide it glucose or ketone bodies so that it can run. And oxygen, of course. And that all depends on how your body is working and running. Mm-hmm. And then the immune regulation in the brain is a lot more, it's larger than most organs because the brain is so metabolically active that the cells are constantly turning over, forming new connections, getting rid of old connections. And the cells kind of die out and get regenerated quite frequently. So for every neuron, there's roughly about 9 immune cells to regulate it. So it is probably the most heavy immune regulated organ in the body. So anything that's going to cause the immune system to go off is going to affect brain function and cause kind of that overall brain fogginess. So that can be toxins, whether from a pathogen, whether from diet, whether from lifestyle, exposure to all sorts of chemicals. All of that's going to affect the immune system, which is going to affect how the brain regulates how neurons are turned over and regenerated and those connections. So looking at any inflammatory response is kind of key. And then when the stimulation aspect comes into play to get people better, basically what happens when you stimulate a neuron is, yeah, you stimulate a receptor on the outside of the cell, which then sends secondary messengers to the nucleus of that neuron, which then changes the gene expression, which changes the protein output, and makes the cell a healthier cell. And then that cell also signals to other cells, hey, I'm healthy, and signals to the immune system, yeah, don't come after me. I'm doing good. So that's one thing which is really hard when we're feeling down and depressed or foggy, is to realize that, yeah, some sort of stimulation in small little doses frequently is going to help get that brain fogginess better. So, and then you can get more specific, and that's kind of where people like myself come in with the functional neurology to train those different pathways that are maybe more damaged or dysfunctional than other ones.
So, and that's very encouraging for people, I think, who are struggling to think about getting a coach that can actually help them to take whatever that the pathway that's been blocked or a roadblock, and to actually, I just think, like, get it straightened out and get over your own roadblocks. But it's hard to do that on your own, especially if you've trained yourself to be off track a lot, or if society has trained you to be off track a lot. So not only do we have adults who are in that shape because they've got problems, but also the kids that they're raising. So it's becoming multi-generational issues. And if you don't start with yourself and healing yourself, you can't possibly be in a good condition to help your children or grandchildren. One of the things that you've said multiple times during interviews over the past, and I think the first time I had you on as a guest was probably 6 years ago. And yeah, 6 years ago. So it's been a while. Again, check us out at masteryourlife.ca so you can see how well Dr. Hardy is aged. So it's like the practicing what you preach, right? It's the before and after, right? But really, we live stressful lives. We live stressful lives. And I go, one of the things that you had said and that you've said frequently is that when you are up against a challenge, how you go into it is how you will come out of it.
So, oh, absolutely. So yeah, and think about it like an athlete, an athlete that goes into like a full contact situation. The better trained he is before he goes into it is going to kind of determine how he comes out of it. And well, that's the same with all of us. And life throws these stressful situations at us without us knowing. Mm-hmm. So we do have to kind of prepare our system for them. Just knowing that life is going to happen to us.
Right. Watch this really powerful interview this past week that really was a testament to this. And it was somebody that had an injury that was from injection. And again, you can come over to the website to take a look at that video footage. And he had he is a father of seven. And he's got young children at home, but his movement disorder was so bad that I thought, that looks like my dad's movement disorder. So for those of you who've listened to this podcast, you know that we have Huntington's in our family and the movement disorder looks very, very significant. So for some people, it can look like you're drunk. But for other people, it's like a dance. It's like huge movements. And the body is almost like, I'm not sure how you would describe it, Dave, but it's like you can't fake it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The movements are so bizarre. And of course, neurons firing at a dysregulated rate are going to create movements that are just sporadic in some cases. In other cases of movement disorders, it's going to be a rhythmic movement. Mm-hmm. So all of these kind of characteristics of movement disorders you're looking at. And the biggest movement disorder, which most people don't even realize happens, is of course just becoming more and more stiff. So that's dysregulation in that movement pathways within the brain and nervous system. So there are different classifications of movement disorders, but kind of just in that spectrum of health to pathology, kind of the stiffer usually our flexor muscles get compared to extensor muscles is a dysregulation of how the nervous system is inhibiting that flexor tone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we start to notice shoulders rolling forward and becoming more tight in our pecs. And then, of course, other flexor muscles like our hamstrings get tight. And then, of course, there's pulls and torques on different areas of our spine as well. And yeah, we become kind of this stiff, dysregulated mess. And a good chunk of that quite commonly is, once again, how the brain is firing down to the muscles to change that tone. And then, of course, yeah, you can get into the larger movement disorders where it's sporadic movement and things just aren't looking looking like they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And all the way up to horrible pathologies where people are falling over or they just can't control their muscles, and that's maddening to people.
Yeah, and it's hard society looks at them like there's something wrong with them.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So again, come and check it out because he actually recovers, and that's pretty amazing. And but what I think is that his was so fast. People go, why was his recovery so quick? And part of it was because when he went into it, he was in pretty decent shape. So that was one of the things he said is that, you know, if I wouldn't have been in kind of this good a shape, it might not have happened so quickly for me. But a lot of people give up getting better because they feel like it will never happen. And that's not true. Activities each day.
Yeah, they're told that there is no treatment for it.
Yes, no treatment.
Quite commonly, there is no medication for these different things. But you're always, once again, asking yourself, are things getting same, better, or worse? Mm. So if you're doing a therapy and you start to notice the movement disorders start to decline a little bit, then you know you're building that pathway in the right direction. So it is something you can observe right there in place. So it's not this bizarre, wacky treatment. You're monitoring things and seeing, okay, same, better, worse. And with a movement disorder, whether it's a tremor, whether it's an arm that sporadically just kind of fires, whether it's a tick, like you just alluded to there, all of these are things that you can observe and ask yourself and record same, better, or worse, and see things change. So that becomes really exciting for people that do kind of the neuro rehabilitation is the nervous system is firing in milliseconds. So you should either see changes in milliseconds and for better or for worse, whether that person is overstimulated or understimulated during these therapies. And there is a lot of hope for these people that they can improve their function.
Yeah. And hope for us. Because we can improve our function. Bell's palsy is another one that I'm seeing come up fairly frequently in a lot of the current chats about things that people are dealing with. And also, I think people are familiar with muscle tension and shoulders, you know, rolling forward, but they might not think about their lung capacity actually getting stiff also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you see that in like Parkinson's. So that's kind of the movement disorder go-to example, right? They become extremely stiff and rigid, and your ribs are supposed to move when you breathe. So yeah, if all those tight muscles in your back and in your chest start to get tighter, you're restricted with what you can do breathing wise. And then of course, shallow breathing leads to other problems too, because then you breathe at a different rate, which is either going to increase or decrease your oxygen intake and your how you breathe out the carbon dioxide as well. And you can get these conditions where, you're either becoming more acidic or more basic just off of how you're breathing. And that can lead to all sorts of other kind of dysregulation in the body it kind of just becomes this downward spiral in that sense.
Right. So you're a big old ball of dysregulation. It's like, do I like this? No, not that much. We were sharing a funny story. We Dr. Hardy and I live in the same province in Alberta, Canada, but we do live a few hours apart from one another. But this morning it was like very frigidly cold here. So for people who are, you know, listening in the UK or the US or India or the United Arab Emirates, this one's for you. It was like -36.
Yeah.
Which is really, really, really cold. And we were, Dr. Hardy was sharing that his vehicle actually was even, you know, like not properly functioning this morning because it was so cold. And that's, our bodies can get really out of attunement, depending on the environmental conditions, that we are living under. And we will notice it in a vehicle, but we won't necessarily notice it in our own anatomy.
We live in it. So if it's kind of this slow change, then it becomes our new normal. And then after kind of the time passes, then we're like, I'm not doing as well as I used to do. Or yeah, I'm slower. Yeah, just ache more. I'm stiff more often. All of these things. And yeah, that's just signs once again that we need to get our bodies conditioned and feeling better. And by doing that too, we're stimulating the nervous system, which regulates pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it does become this upward spiral instead, and things that we can take control of. And yeah, it's all kind of being doom and gloom when we talk about when things are going wrong, but there's the other aspect of things. There's the peak performance side of things as well, where you're just trying to get your brain, body, and everything firing and working as best as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of tips, tricks, and hacks out there. But the kind of key thing that I go through is to use the roadmap of the system right in front of us that we're trying to look at. So then it becomes something that you can put into a system versus, maybe try this thing or try this. And then you're kind of just on that cycle of, okay, well, what's the next little tip I can do? And it becomes more sustainable when you've got that roadmap and path right in front of you that, we've observed in the functional or neurologic examinations, and there's all sorts of textbooks written on it. And now if we can maybe simplify it a little bit for people, everything comes in through a receptor that fires into a nerve that goes into our brain and into different pathways. And then there's the brain processes that, and then it's got an output. So basically it's, read something, reception, and then processing, and then output. Input, processing, output. And that's how the brain and nervous system works. So if we can start to kind of see, we put this input in, there's some sort of processing happening, and then the output is, I feel more upright. I've got more confidence. I'm smiling more, then we're on the right track. And it can be as simple as that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And the having a challenge, I think too, is good for us, having these challenges, but not challenges that are so hard that we fail. And sometimes I take it for granted, but I shouldn't, is that I did grow up on a farm. And so from a very young age, we were out working, we were outside, and a farm in, south of Viking, Alberta, Canada, it was cold. This was the weather in the winter. You expected it. So you do develop a thick skin and a capacity to actually handle the elements of nature. And it's a natural thing. A lot of people are really afraid of anything natural. So it freaks them out when they go, it's like a freaky thing to think about being out in nature and sort of handling oneself out there. But that's actually where you really get grounded in your capacity to be well.
Yeah.
And also to accepting the cycles of life. They go, okay, yes, there is this natural birth of things, and there's a natural growth of things, and there's a natural really glowing and sparkling and getting better and better and better. And there is a natural degeneration also, because we don't live forever. We are in this human body. And so lots of people get caught chasing the fountain of youth, and they do everything that's anti-nature also to try to sustain their health and vitality. And it robs you of that health and vitality. So kind of the metric that we have for measurements that we have for what's healthy and what's vital, what feels good, is not necessarily anything to do with nature. And so when you kind of pluck yourself out of that brainwashing and go, okay, well, how do I actually get back to the natural state of myself? so that I can be broken free of sort of the regimens of what other people tell me is going to work for me. You know, we were talking about, for example, low fat diets and how much that's just killed people. You know, 30 years later, people are really suffering with lots and lots of maladies as a result of trying to remove fat or putting aspartame in their diets. You know, just it's killed people. It's killing people decades later. And so anti-nature.
And the other one too is, there's the common cliche, we are what we focus on. Well, if our only health metric is not to be sick, you're going to end up being sick.
That's the brain doesn't negate things, right? So, really? No.
Yeah. We need to change that metric of, not being sick into, being healthy. And everyone's going to have a slightly different definition of what healthy means, but basically feeling good and functioning good. Mm-hmm. And we really need to start focusing on those and the things that will get us there instead. And instead of too, like the simple quick pleasures of, mm-hmm. of having that piece of candy or whatever else, and shifting that to, what good foods can I eat that I enjoy? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes sustainable instead of, what foods I can't have. And
kicking your own butt too, Dr. Hardy, this is one that was a big one probably, 15, 20 years ago. I remember people just going crazy over The Biggest Loser, that was just like the thing, and kicking your own ass all the time. And I looked at the person who was actually the main trainer on that, or one of the main trainers, and went, didn't have kids. Her body would have never gone through what happens in a woman's body when you actually have children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this whole unreasonable expectation about that, think about who you emulate, think about who you think is really awesome at the things that they're doing, and then look at their real life and go, do they actually live a life that's even somewhat similar to mine? Has their body gone through the same experience? I had this one woman who had had 7 children. She's looking at me going, like, why can't I look like you? I said, because I had 2 children and you had 7 children. Let's be reasonable here. Sweet woman, sweet mom. that's just the high level 30,000 foot view of what the differences would be. But when you actually get into what goes on in people's bodies, it's very challenging to carry children. It changes your body forever. And so when we have guides and we're looking at people that are quote unquote celebrity and they do not have the same life as you do, kills you, because you go, I don't know why I can't be like that. Well, because you actually have a real life. You're spending your time invested in raising your children. And I'm not saying that all of them don't, but there's a lot that don't. And having children is a big one, a life changer. So having that focus on the right measurements about what's natural and normal, about how your body changes, and then how you can manage to feel good each day. Because if you've got pelvic floor damage, or you've got a tipped uterus, or those kinds of things, those are complex health issues that, it's not just, do some Kegels, or, you need help. You're probably going to need some help.
And on that note too, thank goodness there's all sorts of newly trained practitioners out there for those ones that do need the help. There are people that now specialize in pelvic floor disorders and things of that nature. And that's so important. And it's now one of those tasks of, if you do have these issues, is finding the right person to get you the correct help. And sometimes that becomes a challenge.
Mm-hmm. It was so interesting too, Dr. Hardy, and maybe you can relate to this a bit. I was listening to another, a man talking about his wife having children, and that he was in really good shape. He was an Olympian, a winning Olympian. I wish I could remember his name right now. I can't off the top of my head. But winning rower. And she either had 1 or 2 miscarriages. So here's this Olympic athlete, falls in love. And he was in love. And he said, it was the first time I did not know what to do. and felt completely helpless about what to do. And then the third child, or it was, well, second or third, whichever, but the one that lived was a little guy with Down syndrome. And so there was, you know, they got looked at like they should have, well, didn't you know, didn't you get tested? Like, so and the suggesting that they should have done something about this pregnancy before they brought him into the world. Mm-hmm. Very, very weird sort of situation, but it's made him this raving fan of life, you know, and of his wife and life. And he would, you know, so there's practitioners who know about that stuff because they've got partners or they have people who are close to them in their life that they will have a vested interest in helping them to figure out how to be the healthiest that they can possibly be. And so you don't have to have necessarily a female lead you to have really great pelvic floor health or neurological awesomeness, but somebody who understands the condition and can help you in meaningful ways, I think, is important, because you have a really extensive background, Dr. Hardy, and we've talked about it a little bit on some other podcasts, but you're an educator, first of all. You worked with really challenging young people. You've worked with people with really severe head injuries, like concussions that are chronic concussions. You've helped people to overcome those things. And you've also been really good at kind of monitoring what's going on in my head sort of over the span of the last hour. So, and I'm all joking aside, though, it's like if people are looking for coaches, you need people who can actually look at you and help you. And sometimes people who are in the same boat as you can't help you because they're in the same boat. Mm-hmm. But they're not necessarily going to help you to get out of whatever is the troublesome problem. So there's this fine thing of looking for great coaches.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The thing I always have heard it from some people is everyone's a life coach now. And how much life has a 23-year-old had?
Yeah, 23-year-old millionaire.
Right. And there are those people out there. They've slugged through a hard childhood and do have some life experience and everything else. But the majority, probably not so much. Yeah, with myself, like education was one of those things. I struggled. I was in speech therapy and then struggled with reading and writing. And so that kind of led me into the education route there. And then the clinical route, I've been an athlete and that's one of the things that kind of got me more confidence as a child and everything along that way as well. And then of course injuries pile up and my own concussions in contact sports I do know how maddening those symptoms are as well. And that's all kind of led me down this path of figuring out the neurology and how the brain and nervous system works the learning challenges and everything else and the concussions, the injuries, they're all brain pathways. Mm-hmm. And so much of it is related that, the physical aspect of confidence and feeling good is a physical thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, not being able to learn properly is very much associated in the same pathways as when you get injured or when things start to kind of break down and you feel foggy and run down. It's all a matter of learning that neurology and the physiology behind it so that you can make improvements. And I had one patient come in that, he had a, I believe it was probably an attempt on his own life with drugs. Mm-hmm. And then of course, he's in this brain injured state now. And he's kind of was at that area where he's being told, yeah, if you don't make certain amount of progress by this time, you probably won't. And I turned to him and I look at him and I'm like, no, you see people making progress all the way along, even past that. And I'm like, then the pathways you damaged are the same pathways I'd be working on in a in an Olympic athlete, trying to shave off milliseconds. And with you, yeah, we're trying to get that timing in those pathways to be more efficient. So there is this spectrum of pathology to peak performance, and it's something that we can always be working on. And the difference with the peak performers is they're enjoying working on getting those milliseconds shaved off and everything in that realm and staying at that high level and competing and everything in that regard. But somebody's had an injury is they're training just as hard, if not harder, than the Olympic athletes to get better and get some function back. And that becomes very inspiring, very inspiring. And I think anyone in the middle of this that's maybe tuning in, that's going about their daily life and just looking for a few things to kind of help them out and, and push them along that way is, look at both. And you're looking at the peak performers to pull you into kind of that pathway. And then, look at people that have had an injury or that are suffering, and that's going to push you into performing a little bit better in your daily life as well. And those two sides of things really help out people in the middle as well. So then it does become, instead of that clinical situation, more of a do-it-yourself or finding somebody to do it with you. So,
That's a great point. Great point to do it with you. The other thing I think when looking for peak performers or people to emulate or things like that, is to think about what this show actually started out to be. Master Your Life was supposed to be actually about moral intelligence. And so, moral intelligence, because so many people are struggling with moral issues, which is making them have a harder life. And so that really was the underpinning of the beginning of this show. And the more, the longer I am at doing this, the more I see that morality is kind of the underpinning of whether you take strides in anything that you do in your own life or not. Like good moral choices, not like we all have a conscience. We all have a voice that talks to us. Maybe we have three or four. Or a whole orchestra or a boardroom, whatever's going on for you is totally fine. But it's like, which one are you tuning into and actually, executing your day-to-day life on? And so part of what we do when we're emulating people who are really in good physical shape is sometimes that maybe they're not that awesome in their actual life. And so I want to just challenge people to think about who do you know that actually maybe is both. When I think about peak performers, I think about my mom.
Okay.
Now, my mom is not an Olympic athlete.
No.
Go for, she's like That's under right. 5 feet tall. But if you want to talk about the, what it takes to actually live a, a good life and have been a hard worker and have shown up and met challenges and kept her centeredness, she's it.
Right.
Yeah, she is it.
What a blessing.
Yeah, totally. What a blessing. Exactly. And if we don't have those people in our lives, then we have to be it. It's like even more so, you have to be it. And trying to figure that out. So that's more than going to the gym and lifting, 500 pounds of weight every day. It's do you show up for your family? Because that's actually what's going to carry through that physical good feeling is the pairing, I think. Because neurons that fire together, wire together.
So. Yeah, and that's so massive is that it is the pairing of all of these into lifestyle. And to develop habits, whether it's being in a better mood, whether it's being present with your family or friends or significant others, is that, it's always paired with something physical if you want to make it a habit. And there is the combination of things that Yeah, all this multiple, and I like the way you said orchestra, because yeah, the nervous system is an orchestra, and it's whether it's in sync or not. And same with our lives. There's different parts of that orchestra, and trying to get them to all play into tune is a challenge, absolutely. And that's why life's hard, but at the same time, that's also when we find that flow, that music really starts to resonate throughout us and feel good. Mm-hmm. And it's attainable. It really is attainable. And that's the key. So even if it's a hard place right now in your life or day, there is ways to bring things back into sync, and it does become this great, great song and dance in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think also another, the big challenge is finding finding people who haven't been corrupted is a big challenge right now. Like, we have corruption within ourselves with the choices that we make. So that sort of self-reflects, and we're going, you know what? I didn't do that great today. Or my thought, you know, my thinking about this thing was kind of offside. But I feel like it used to be a little easier to find mentors that were people that you went, oh, okay, I think I could trust what that person has to say. I think that they would are a good influence. And those people or institutions are getting harder and harder to find. And so what do you think about that? Because that actually is a little bit, that makes it tougher.
I think our traditional ones and sources have become a little more less trustworthy. And that's what happens when things evolve to a certain extent is, yeah, everything boom and busts. And we're seeing that. And it's a time of disruption. But I think there's more and more people out there that it just takes a little more time to find and to resonate with. That, kind of these traditional sources are in doubt. And yeah, that leads to uncertainty. But at the same time, you're finding more and more people that are available, and it does become a bit more of a chore to find them. But yeah, I think too, we've always kind of built people up and made them into superheroes, and we expect that those are the people that we're going to be and that we need to emulate. But we need to realize that picture of somebody celebrity wise or whatever else is still a person, and you're only seeing whatever is projected up there. And I think that should be the key takeaway, is that they are people, and you're not seeing the other sides and the struggles with them as much, because that's not what's portrayed or that you want to see, to be honest, because sometimes you want to be caught up in it or the drama or everything else. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of self-reflection of, okay, well, what are you actually searching for?
Right.
And yes, what you're going for. And then, okay, well, what would actually help you more so? And of course, balancing that with uncertainty and everything else. And everybody goes into the trust issue and, I can't trust that anymore. Or, and I'm like, no, what you need to do is you need to trust that in all human behaviors, that everybody has these untrustworthy behaviors as well that come out under certain circumstances. Okay, well, start to play. What are these circumstances? And trust that people are going to act in ways they shouldn't under some circumstances. And then your whole knowledge of trust changes. That, oh yeah, it is human behavior. There's the good, bad, and ugly of everything. that come out in certain circumstances. Well, what are those circumstances, and what's at play? And really start to take control of or look at situations better. And that takes a lot of brain power. So if you're not in that situation where you can do it, you're just going to be in reaction mode. Mm-hmm. And then it's really easy for whatever entity to manipulate you if that's what they're going for. And and we're seeing that. So it's a matter of keeping yourself functioning the best so you can think through these situations and ignore the things that are probably going to make you more reactionary and put you into a state where you become even more reactionary and dysregulated. And that becomes the mental side of things, which are going to have a physical consequence. But yeah, if you can work on the physical processing to make things function better and think better and feel better, then you're less likely to get caught up in whatever mess that is going on.
Right. Awesome advice. Thank you, Dr. Hardy. We're out of time for this episode. I've got lots of things I'd like to say about all of that. but having good people to talk to and talk through things that are a challenge is also really important, because having conversations with yourself doesn't necessarily fix the problem or get your voice outside your own head so that you can process things. So again, I want to encourage people, reach out to the people who you love and respect, ask them to be part of, you know, your journey in life. Don't isolate. More now than ever, we need to reach out to other people who are sane and conscientious and conscious and ask for help. We all have done things in life that we go, oh my gosh, I can't even believe I did that stupid thing again. So everyone's been there. And again, break the chains of 2023 or today by just making some different choices moment to moment. Thank you, Dr. Hardy. You can find out more about him at thehardybrain.ca and come on over to watch this podcast at masteryourlife.ca. Everyone, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.